Beleaguered, impoverished, and crime-ridden are three of the more popular descriptives that precede many Camden-related news stories. Now to that, let's add Apocalypse, New Jersey, a dispatch from America's most desperate town. It's the title of a lengthy article in Rolling Stone magazine, and that in turn elicited response from Howard Gillette. He's author of the book Camden After the Fall, Decline and Renewal in a Post-Industrial City. He's also professor of history emeritus at Rutgers Camden. Professor Gillette, thanks for joining us on Newsworks Tonight.
My pleasure.
You cite a decades-long legacy of bad ink regarding Camden. How do we go at separating sensationalism from substance?
It's not always easy to do. There's plenty to talk about in Camden if you want to emphasize bad news, and it's been done, 60 Minutes, going back to 1983, and a number of other journalists have come in and done similarly rather sensational stories. There's always something very central behind the sensationalism, but in this recent story, I think we got more sensation than we got analysis.
The subtitle is No Jobs, No Hope, and Surveillance Cameras Everywhere, The Strange, Sad Story of Camden. And Rolling Stone author Matt Taibbi is tipping his hand with the title of his forthcoming book, The Divide, American Injustice in the Age of the Wealth Gap. Explain.
Well, I think we're all concerned about inequality in the country. And when we look at places that have such concentrated poverty as Camden does, it's a fertile ground to look at the way in which justice, for example, might be meted out in an unequal way. And the author here, I think, picked up on some very important things, even as he tended to talk in rather extreme terms, Baghdad-style surveillance and things like that, which naturally got the backs up of both residents and the members of the police force, I'm sure, who are trying to make a sincere effort as they're working there to make the place safer, particularly after the city went through a horrendous period, which reached a year ago a record high number of homicides.
Regarding the police force, the author of the Rolling Stone article points a finger directly at Governor Chris Christie. To what extent do you think that's warranted?
Well, Christie made it clear when he came in that he was not happy with the cost of the Camden police system. And as many Republicans have, he wanted to make some points by getting those costs down. And he tried to squeeze the union to give up some of the benefits that had been there for some time. And when they balked with having the power of the purse, the city can't support itself financially and has to rely on state aid. Number of police were let go. And with that loss and a transition over time, over almost a year's time, to a takeover of the whole police force by the county, you had a period of almost a year, 9 months to a year, when the police force was in transition, when there were fewer officers on the street, and very little incentive for people who didn't know what their future was to risk their lives and to work their hardest to make the city safe. And as a consequence, the crime rate went way up. And this is what the author really emphasized in his story. We do have another story since then, but it's a story, I think, that's not completely different than the one that was there. And his point, the author's point, was that Governor Christie, in claiming a drop in crime since the county took over the city's police force in May, is using false statistics, comparing the current rate of murder and other crimes to a period that was horrendous by any standard and shouldn't be the standard against which that decline in crime has come. It's still very high, 52 homicides so far this year. That's very, very high for any city of its size. And so there are still problems behind this charge that warrant investigation.
Assisting that county force, though, is additional technology, specifically in the form of surveillance cameras, and even that is controversial in the reading of Matt Taibbi.
Well, yeah, I think we're all in a period now when there's so much attention to surveillance that we're uneasy about high tech, particularly as it seems to be invasive in the city of Camden. But I have talked to people in the city who really relish better surveillance. The chief of police himself has emphasized the fact with limited number of resources, you have to find hot spots and you have to concentrate on areas where crime is there. And that the cameras and the embedded microphones, which the author describes, are helpful in that regard. The real issue for me is not the technology. I think that can be controlled. It's really whether the reconstituted police force are adequately trained and prepared to act effectively with local residents in light of the severe question of law and order in the city of Camden.
And you indeed cite the nexus of a new police force interfacing with grassroots organizations. You cite that trauma summit held at Cooper Hospital earlier in the spring.
Well, you know, one of the reactions to this story was that the author missed good things that happened in the city. And there's a good deal that's happening, not only related to civil strife and disorder, but in particular response to the murder rate last year. A summit was called as part of a long ongoing effort to bring the resources of the service community to bear on this terrific trauma that was created by these loss of lives. And that process is institutionalized and is ongoing in an effort to try to provide more effective ways for people to deal with a very dangerous situation. And I think that is at least part of an answer to this problem as a transition to a better situation. It's not the only one.
A NewsWorks Tonight story last night brought to light the fact that in the 2011-2012 year, a total of three Camden High School students had a combined SAT score of 1550, considered successful to then going on to college. How does one quickly or even slowly remedy that situation?
There are a variety of different ways that people have tried to deal with the kind of educational challenges in high poverty areas like Camden. And they've included longer days. They've included a variety of different techniques. But I think underlying that is the fact of concentrated poverty itself. As long as you have a school system that is dominated by people of limited resources and all the pressures that come with that, you're going to have a hard time reaching the kind of academic achievement, either individually or collectively, that everybody wants to see in their school system. So clearly, those scores are not totally surprising. They're certainly distressing, and more resources will go into the schools, I'm sure, and Promise Academies, as they've been introduced to the city, might ameliorate the problem. But until you have students who have stable homes and are free of crime and have decent and affordable housing and an environment that's really supportive of learning, there's going to be significant problems in getting students ready to take advantage of what educational opportunities exist in place in the city of Camden.
Taibbi points to cheesesteak-eating Philadelphians for whom Camden is essentially out of sight, out of mind. And your article, in turn, says reform demands informed debate. How do we next shed light on Camden's plight and situation to take it to the next level?
Well, we talk a lot about Camden. It's in the news a lot. This is just one example of a major story that's created a big debate, I think, in terms of what might happen. I think that's a good sign if we can actually talk about root causes. I think that the story's limitations are that we're talking about effects and not causes. Causes of Camden's problems are really rooted in large part in a housing market that concentrates people of low income in one place because that's where housing is affordable and keeps them from taking advantage of places that are nearby, but which the housing and other resources are more expensive and therefore are less accessible. I'm not arguing that everybody ought to leave Camden. I'm only saying that until we have a region that's more balanced economically, both in the city and in its suburbs, the problems of poverty at the core and its isolation from the rest of the region are going to continue to fester.
But that specifically, in response to the Rolling Stone article, you do not believe that, say, police action and social services are the causes.
Clearly, these initiatives of more resources in both the police and the social services are necessary. It goes back to the Kerner Commission report in the late 1960s. We were told then that we needed to bring more resources to inner city areas, but we couldn't do that in isolation from opening up the metropolitan areas for opportunities that as they began to concentrate there and make them accessible to all people and not just the people who are living in those areas and are nearby. So the question here that I raised in the essay was, why are we putting resources only into law and order and not opening up the suburbs through affordable housing strategies? This is one of the points where the governor has been very clear. He's against expanding opportunities for affordable housing, according to formulas that have been in place for 25 and 30 years in the state of New Jersey. And if he does that, he's really saying the only way we can solve Camden's problems is putting a heck of a lot more resources into the city. And I don't think that's going to work in the long run.
Mr. Gillette, thanks for joining us to broaden our information on this topic.
Thank you.
Howard Gillette, Professor of History Emeritus at Rutgers Camden.